Thank you, Cheryl and Dave. That was lovely. I'm going to hand over to Vilma now, and she's going to talk to us. Vilma, do you want to introduce the activity?
I think there's going to be a problem in
Yes, I will.
There,
Oh, sorry. Sorry, you're right. Paula's going to read to us first, which will lead nicely into the talk. So let's go to Paula first. Hang on.
So have you got me unmuted, Emma?
Yes.
Cool, thanks. I'm reading from Mark 16, starting at verse 9 and through to the end of the chapter, actually the end of the book. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, I'm slowing myself down. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. I just want to say that, first of all. And it's kind of weird as this is beginning to feel a little bit not so strange. I don't like to say normal because it's not normal, but it doesn't feel too bad, you know, being together in this way. It's really good that we can connect, and it's exciting to see that we can do church in a different way. So it's pretty exciting in some ways as well. So we're into the fourth week of this pandemic, and meeting people or worshiping via this technology is a welcome break to some of the new routines that we may have, which for some could feel quite a lonely time. So it's quite good that we embrace this technology. As we heard the reading from Mark's gospel, Emma and I kind of been communicating a little bit, and it was suggested perhaps that we can make paper people, you know, these paper chain people for the children to kind of to use. But I said, why don't we all make paper chain people so that we can all use them? I thought it'd be a good idea to kind of see. And by using these paper chain people, or perhaps any piece of paper, that when we hear the verses being read, that we jot down or draw the feelings that the people in the story, the characters in the story, would have been feeling. So I thought we would do that. We would do things a little bit differently. And so I know we've heard the reading once. I'm going to read it again. And perhaps not shockingly, I am going to read it yet again after that. This is what I do when I read my verses. I read them several times because there's different things, the different questions that I need to ask myself when I read these passages, when I read verses from the Bible, because God speaks to us in different ways with different questions that we pose to the passage. So I'm going to read this again, and I want you to use your imagination. And as I read, I like to invite you to use your paper chain people or a piece of paper, and to either draw or jot down words that express how the characters are feeling in the Bible or in the story. In other words, what do you think disciples or the women in the story or Jesus were feeling as the story unfolds? So I'm going to read these verses again, and you keep that in mind as I read. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Then he said to them, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus has spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Did you identify any feelings in these verses? That's what I'm wondering. Now, I want you to turn your papers over or your people over. And I'm going to read the story again. And I want you now to imagine yourself in the story. To imagine yourself alongside the disciples and the women and Jesus. What are your feelings as the story unfolds? Again, you can draw them or you can write down words. I also would like you to imagine what Jesus may be saying to you in this setting. So I'm going to read from chapter 16 again, verses 9 to 20. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name, who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." After the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his words by the signs that accompanied it. I like to do that sometimes to give you a chance to engage with the Lord so that the Holy Spirit has a chance to speak to you personally with whatever the passage is. And then I preach as I feel the message is from these verses for you as a church. But that time that you were listening and you were thinking and that you were praying, those are words for you from the Lord to you as an individual. Anyway, for the eagle-eyed among you who like to read the small print, you probably noticed that your Bibles say these verses are not included in some of the older Greek manuscripts. Some centuries ago, as far as we can tell, you know, somewhere along the line, theologians feel that these verses were added into Mark's gospel, the ending. And they even say that some of the early church fathers, they go as far as saying that some of the early church fathers, like the second or third century church, didn't even know these verses existed. So that suggests that these verses are a late addition to the gospel. So not that the author of Mark wrote them. And you think, why would people do this? Well, perhaps at some point, it was felt that the gospel didn't end well enough, you know? There were too many loose ends. If you read the gospel until verse 8, you know, you think, well, what about this and what about that? So there were too many loose ends in comparison to what people knew what happened after Jesus' resurrection. So people knew that other things happened after Jesus' resurrection from the other gospels and from other writings. So they decided to finish it off. And so they gathered what was known about Jesus after the resurrection from the other gospel accounts and brought it together in these few verses. And you can actually check these things out for yourself. Matthew, Luke, John, and even accounts from the book of Acts are included in these few verses. So if you wanted a detailed account of Jesus's appearance with Mary Magdalene, you can read it in John chapter 20. If you want to know more about the disappointed disciples on the road, look at Luke chapter 24. If it's details on the Great Commission, that will be in Matthew 28. And the ascension is in Luke 24. As for speaking in tongues, handling of snakes, and laying of hands, that's all in the book of Acts. Now, there is no time today to scrutinize over some of the claims in these verses. But for now, I say thank you very much for this quick summary, as it saves me a lot of time reading. It's what I like about this gospel, you know. It's short and gets right to the point very quickly. If anyone ever asked me what gospel they should read, I always say Mark's gospel, simply because it's short. The key word in this passage is believe. In fact, the whole of Mark's gospel is written to stress that Jesus' death and resurrection is something to be believed. And once believed, it will change your life. But here, in these few verses, we have the opposite. The disciples do not believe. Mary Magdalene sees Jesus and they don't believe her. Two of their own see him and they don't believe them either. We heard earlier that even when the disciples themselves had a visit from Jesus, Thomas didn't believe them. There is this persistent and stubbornness among Jesus' disciples not to believe. And from what we see in these verses, it's crippling them. They are hidden away. Doors are locked and they are afraid. We don't know how long they were in hiding, as it were, but the point is they should not have been overwhelmed with fear. Jesus had warned them that this would happen. And although the events of the trial and the crucifixion were traumatizing, the news that Jesus had risen as he said he would, should have given them some hope, but instead they chose not to believe. It's no wonder verse 14 says, Jesus rebuked the 11 when he appeared to them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he was risen. I can't imagine Jesus was cross. I could imagine Jesus was disappointed, frustrated. Not at the fact that they were scared or they were afraid, but at their stubborn refusal to believe. And I also wonder how those who did see Jesus feel when their friends didn't believe them. Did it cast doubt on what they saw? There is so much that happens when we don't put our trust in Jesus as believers, especially when we don't put our trust in Jesus as believers, when things don't go according to plan. It's then when we can so easily ourselves be traumatized, confused, and scared. The disciples, although Jesus had told them on several occasions that he would be arrested and be put to death, did not accept that he would be killed. So when it happened, they couldn't believe it. They got so scared. They were traumatized. They were confused. But their fear went on to another level. They were petrified. They locked themselves away, and everything that Jesus had taught them went out of their minds. They could not even accept the news from the eyewitnesses that Jesus had risen from the dead as he said he would. Now, these were Jesus's closest disciples, his closest friends, the ones that were with him throughout his ministry, the ones who witnessed him healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the possessed, and calming the seas. They should have at least been hopeful, not locked away feeling hopeless. You know, being scared is a natural, normal reaction to any disturbing situation. It's healthy, actually. But when we are consumed by fear, it becomes crippling. It stops us from taking action. It keeps us from thinking straight. It causes us to make wrong decisions. We make mistakes. We act hastily without regard for other people. So we end up hurting people. We get physically ill and even develop mental health problems. It's important to recognize when our worries are turning into fears, because not only can all those things I mentioned happen, but even worse, we can lose sight of Jesus's promise to be with us always. Jesus's last words to his disciples were, "I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." You can read that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. This is Jesus's promise to all his disciples, which includes you and me, anyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Jesus promises to be with you always. So, are you worried and getting stressed because of the continued lockdown? Relax. It will end. Are there financial worries? Relax. The Lord will provide. Is it sickness, disease, death that worries us? Relax. Our future is secure in Christ. In other words, don't be overwhelmed by these things. One passage that comes to mind is Jesus' teaching on worry from Matthew chapter 6. And this is an abridged version that I just jotted a few words down. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" Now, I know that not worrying is sometimes easier said than done. But what worrying must not do is cripple us into inaction, into forgetting that the Lord is always with us, and forgetting our responsibility as his disciple to share the love and security we have in him with others, which leads us to his charge to preach the good news. To preach is to herald something. Hear ye, hear ye. You know, for example, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. This is something you would have on your church website at Easter or on the board outside the building. Great. But what does it mean? Well, part of the Great Commission is not only to preach the good news, but to teach. And this is it again in Matthew chapter 28. Now, there are many ways of teaching. I don't have to tell you, I'm sure. Many ways of explaining, of sharing. And as you know, it doesn't always have to be with fancy words or well-prepared sermons. The most effective way of teaching is through example. So we don't tell a child how to do their shoelaces up. We show them, don't we? We just don't tell them, we show them. And that's how children learn how to do shoelaces up. So we need to do the same in our lives. We don't just herald and preach, we show people what it means to live accepting Jesus into our lives. So when we live our lives trusting in Jesus's promise, trusting that he is with us always, living sensibly, not losing control in fear when things don't go according to plan, we show those around us or teach those around us what it means to celebrate the risen Christ, to trust in the one who said we are valuable, the one who knows our needs, and the one who will provide. We need to remember ourselves in order so that we can share with others that he saves us, not for the future, but for the present. And he remains with us, or not will remain in us, but remains with us now and into eternity. By remembering these things in all situations, at the end of the day, we are Jesus's witnesses in the world. So, like Jesus said to his disciples, we need to remember ourselves. Do not be afraid, but believe. Believe in him who gave his all for you and for me. Amen?
Thank you very much, Vilma. Thank you.
I put myself into a position where I'd done all the training, but they didn't allocate me anything, which I think is because maybe their demand for it, well, hopefully it might never need it, which would be great from that point of view. So, but yeah, that may happen to me a bit this coming week. I've got a bit of slack this week. And then the week after that, I'm pretty much working. I'm really busy. I'm working kind of pretty much every day for about 2 months. So I've got a lot of locum work after that, which I think is when it's going to be busiest.
Yes.
I think people are now, I mean, what I'm hoping is happening is that people are coming, contacting us about other things. Because that's the thing I'm really worried about. That there's all this other stuff that people are thinking, oh, I can't call the doctor because you sort of, they're so busy. And then they're sitting on their, you know, serious.
It's like the little infections that they think, oh, no, that'll be fine. And then suddenly it becomes
And it's all going to catch up. It's all going to catch up. And we can't refer people at the moment, which is difficult. Mm. So I saw a couple of weeks ago, I saw a baby that had a temperature. And when I listened to, he was not tiny. When I listened to the baby's heart to listen to the chest, I heard a heart murmur, which is a new thing. So more for me for listening. But anyway, so I referred that baby to have a routine echocardiogram. And they've said, oh, no, you're just going to have to wait and refer him back when it's all over. Mm. And so you end up with this pile of work, you know, that's waiting for us to send and that the hospital isn't going to be able to cope with.
So I
hope they open up. I hope they open up some outpatients. I don't know what your view about that is, Cheryl, that, you know, perhaps they're redeploying people they don't need to and they could be running some of the other services. I don't know.
I'm not really sure what is happening in outpatients. I mean, I know some of the staff are asking for masks and things like that. So some of the departments must be open, the clinics. But, there is a lot of redeployment because they've opened up Ward J3, which used to be like a decamp type ward. And they take that into another ICU.
Right.
Yeah, they're kind of retraining staff and moving them. And
That makes sense. But if there are people that can't be redeployed, then it seems a shame that they're not doing echocardiograms on babies who you've just heard a murmur in. They're seeing them. I've referred two women with breast lumps. I don't think those were rejected. But, you know, it's all that kind of stuff, isn't it? Not so much routine, but urgent routine kind of thing.
I'm waiting for a referral myself because I keep having hypos.
Right.
Know why. I mean, I'm not on any medication.
Right.
It's not like I can stop taking it.
You can't stop something. So it's perhaps related to your surgery and stuff.
Because obviously I don't want to keep eating to keep my sugar up.
No, that's the last thing you want to do.
Surgery.
Yeah. And it's all that sort of stuff. And there's some of those things, somebody that's an expert on that ought to be able to talk to you over the phone about managing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're doing most of our work on, in general practice, you know, on video links and talking to people on the phone. And there's some things you have to see. You have to look in ears, for example. You know, people can't put their ear up to the screen. They could, but it's not helpful.
That's why I've not gone, because I've got something with my ears and I know there's no point. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, but you can. I've been looking in people's ears.
Have you?
Yeah, you just have to bring people in. You have to put your gear on. But, you know, why wait? What? There's actually capacity in general practice at the moment. If everybody goes with their ears, you know, in a month's time, the system will fall over.
Really. My mum went for a blood test and she didn't. She said, I don't know whether I feel comfortable going, but the doctor said, well, there's no one at the moment. It's the best time to come because everyone will want a blood test when it's all over. And there's no one in the surgery.
Yeah. And if you manage it carefully, what we're doing where I'm working is that you bring the we're getting people to sit in the car, people that are coming to have a blood test, the nurse puts the mask and the apron and everything on, or the phlebotomist, goes and gets the person from the car park so they're not in a waiting room, just gets them in and out. And as long as they haven't got a temperature, haven't got symptoms, otherwise we're just stacking up all this work.
Yeah.
And missing things. I'm just worried we're missing things because people aren't coming.
Yeah, I mean, I had to have a bit of an argument because I was due my vitamin B12 injection.
Oh, B12 has been a nightmare.
Yeah, and I'm like, but I can't. She goes, oh, we'll ring again next week. And this was like when it first started. And I can't.
You've been doing those in the car park.
Nothing's going to be different next week.
We've been doing quite a lot of those in the car park.
Yeah, they did. They finally relented and I had to nip in the back door and she stuck it in my arm and off I went.
But lots of the nurses in general practice aren't doing anything and all the healthcare assistants who are there to take people's bloods aren't busy.
But I even said, look, can I not have a prescription and go and get it done at work? I mean, I work with hundreds of people.
Yeah, that people have I've shown somebody how to give their own vitamin
B.
Irony
of it, too. Yeah.
It's ridiculous, really.
Anne-Marie at work keeps saying, oh, I doubt if I'll get my B12 next month. And I said, well, you should do.
Yeah, and if you can take tablets. Some people, I mean, not probably wouldn't apply to Cheryl with her situation, but you can take vitamin B12 as tablets. And you can survive. Some people don't need it as often as they have it anyway. So, yes, please. Anyway, we were one group now. I don't know what I did.
No, it's all fine.
Maybe came and looked. He didn't say anything. Have I done that? Lydia had to talk me through it.
Yeah, you brought us back together. That's fine.
You left me in a rather critical moment.
Well, it was funny to start with because we went, Paula, there's this thing at the bottom. She went, oh, yeah. And then she disappeared. So obviously she'd come back. And
it automatically brought you out, did it?
Well, Paula left.
Was still in the other one, telling Margaret how to get out.
But yeah, we got Margaret out. And then we came.
Left.
Well, it gave everybody something to apply their brains to. How's Richard?
Yeah, I spoke to Richard. He's doing okay. I mean, he is. I mean, effectively, apart from this guy.
I can't remember whether we told you this when we were in this group or not. One of our friends who's in a vulnerable position, his nephew has just committed suicide. Yeah.
So Richard heard from this guy's brother. So after this guy's brother, Richard is the next nearest relative because both this guy's parents are dead.
Yeah.
Oh. So there's Richard and then there's Richard's own brother. And that's basically those are the only family.
Oh, goodness me. Of course.
So Richard's saying if there is a funeral, then actually, you know, there would be some sense in Richard trying to go, really. Yeah.
But he can't go on public transport, can he?
He could go on public transport, but equally, I mean, I've said to Richard, if necessary, I don't mind driving down to Portsmouth, picking up Richard and taking him to Swindon.
That's true.
You know, that could be done. I think that, you know...
Yeah, that would be safer than him being on public transport.
I mean, equally, his brother, who also lives in Cambridge, could drive from Cambridge down to Richard and pick him up and take him, but I'm not sure that his brother would do that.
But his brother makes zero effort, even at the best of times, so I don't think that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
But anyway, well done for offering.
So anyway, we'll see. Yeah.
As long as you don't get up to 120 on the motorways,
exactly. Yeah.
And it's a good reason, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? So there are only three close relatives.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Either that or just say you're buying something from eBay.
Yeah, that's right.
Get on the news. Get a bit of publicity.
I can already imagine that David's thinking it's not that much further to go from Swindon to Cornwall. Yeah. A little diversion. Keep going. Yeah. Get the M5 and you're there.
Anyway, yeah. I now need to go and ring Dave Stevenson, who wants us to go and collect. He wants us to both go and collect a 5 meter scaffolding pole.
What's
this for?
From somewhere in Cottenham to do something with the lighting at church.
It's essential, David.
Well, it's now not going to be a risk. You could all fall, and then you'd be.
We'll be 5 meters apart if we were either end of a 5 meter scaffolding pole.
Are you putting this up at the church?
I think he's got it from somebody. And he's taking it to the church, and he can't work out where getting to the church on his own.
And does it need to be done now?
I don't know. I'm going to ring him.
I think he's perhaps a bit girled out in his house.
I think David's dead.
Yeah,
I don't know how well it'll go down with Jessica.
He's desperate to go and do something at church.
Right, I'm going to go, guys. I'll see you.
Yeah, we're going to go.
Yeah, we're going to go.
Take care. Have a nice rest in Olivia.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
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 Ooh, end meeting for all. That's a new experience.